You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
See you soon,
idiots. It's for you.
Hand me the keys, your fairy godmother.
This is bozo, man.
Where'd you get that beauty scar, tough guy? Eating pineapple?
Stuff you.
These sound like a great big chicken just waiting to be plucked.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
That's bullcrap.
Freak you, Sam Rothstein, freak you!
I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane!
You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
Welcome to Cinema. Crespediso.
Welcome to episode 145 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. We're hanging out in the Crespediso Studio 4.0. We got some new stuff on the walls. If you check out the Instagram, Cinema Crespediso, you'll see what we just added to the wall posters.
You already put that.
Just one of them.
You already took pictures of it?
One of them. Yeah. Just so people can see. They want to know where we're at, Drew. The visual component of the audio. Yes. They like to close their eyes and imagine us sitting in opulence as we provide them with all this free entertainment that no one's paying for.
With our golden chrome chairs.
With our golden chrome chairs and our golden Taco Bell PlayStations.
Dipped in real gold.
Dipped in real gold.
Right.
It says right there in the bottom of my real gold.
Right.
Yeah. It says this is...
It's plastic.
Gold leaf. What were those little flecks they put in the Goldschlager?
It's plastic.
Then you poop gold?
I don't know.
Talking about pooping gold with Drew Sikagra. And Drew, how's it going?
What's up?
Drew, what's up with pooping gold? What's up with that?
I don't know, Chris. I don't know. I've never drank enough Goldschlager to notice it in my crap the next day.
Oh, I guess we got ourselves a...
I guess we got ourselves
the next Oscar bet going
well,
on
Well, no, because once you get to that point, I know this from experience, once you get to that point with Goldschlager, you're puking well before then.
Oh, gross.
In which case, it's not going to make its, you know, full path
this is
through
the,
your body.
This is a horrible conversation.
Yeah.
Why aren't we talking about movies yet?
I don't know.
We have a first-time guest with us. He is a on-air personality producer over at 96.9
yes.
FM, as well as a podcaster, sports writer. He does it all related to sports. Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us Mike Venditti. How's it going, Diddy?
Pretty good, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, the studio's killer.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Took us a very long time to get to a studio.
Took us a long time to get to an actual room that's a studio. For the longest time, the show was done. We did it on a boat on international waters. And then we did it in the back of an 82 Pontiac for a while, driving around town.
Nice.
And then when we weren't doing that, it was usually at a dining room table
next
to a kitchen. The air still smelling like fried chicken cutlets.
Yes, absolutely. Still got a nice fold-out card table in my office,
there
in my
you
apartment.
Go. See, we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
President Obama went to Mark Maron's garage to do a podcast.
Yeah.
So the standard is very low.
Absolutely.
For podcast studios. I think we're doing a little better in the garage. You can see the carport from here.
You can. See your car right now.
Can see the car right now. Look at that hunk of garbage. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. We're going to talk about all sorts of movies right now. We got a lot to do. So let's go ahead and get started with the good old Netflix Instant Pick of the Week, which means it's time for the intro theme song.
For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
Here we go. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week time. As Mike and Drew use the Crespediso Randomizer 9000, I'll let everyone know you can go to the newly redesigned chriscrespo.com. We got new banners and buttons in there. It makes it all look super snazzy, and it's easy to navigate. You can go ahead and click on Netflix Picks right there in the menu. It's sorted by years. It's fantastic.
Mike, please go ahead and let the people know what this week's pick is going to be.
This week's pick is The Hunter.
Oh, snap. That's going to get one of these if I can pull it up fast enough. Here we go. The Hunter, starring Willem Dafoe. That's 2013?
2011.
No, I almost said 2011, but I thought that might have been a little too old. 2011, so it's already been, god damn, these movies, the time just goes by so fast, Drew, I can't.
Ooh, Sam Neill as well.
Yes, a smaller role. The thing is, with this movie, it's a type of movie where it focuses on one character a lot. Okay. So there's good stretches where it's just Willem Dafoe, like, walking around in some snowy Tasmanian forest with a gun. He's looking for the rare, thought to be possibly extinct, Tasmanian tiger of some, I think, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yes.
And the company has contracted him to find this tiger and kill it and bring it in so that they can harvest something from it that they can, some sort of chemical that's okay. in the animal that they can then use for some sort of purpose. But the whole point is it's that they're, you know, a company raiding nature and being willing to make this rare animal extinct for their own financial purposes. And he's been hired to carry it out, but he's also like talking to some local people. And maybe having a change of heart while I was doing it, stuff like that. Very, very good movie. Tense, really well done. It's Willem Dafoe.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's Willem Dafoe. I'm in.
Yeah, the guy's great.
Totally for that.
He is.
The guy's awesome. Great. And, you know, how good he is and how popular he is, it's not like he gets a lot of lead roles in movies.
No.
Usually popping up as the side guy. He's the dude who's like, he's also a hitman. Or he's the guy you're buying the guns from, you know?
Yeah.
Or he's investigating. He pops up as the investigator.
Or he's a vampire.
Really, yeah.
Or the Green Goblin.
Yeah.
That too.
Man, he was perfect casting for the Green Goblin.
Great.
He was.
I don't know about that. The outfit, though. That's that outfit still bothers me. Yeah. Especially
all,
when you look at it
now. All the superhero outfits bother me.
All of them? Every single one of them.
They all look really dumb in real life. Like, in the comic book, they look awesome. They look amazing. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
You take that stuff and you put it on real people in real life, and they look really dumb.
Even the Christian Bale Batman, like... Mostly armor suits.
Well, I mean...
The only weird thing is that he has a cape and ears.
Yeah, and he can't turn his head.
He can in the third one. They made it a plot point. Or was it the second one?
I think it was the second one. During the second one.
Yeah, like during the second
midway
one.
Midway through, he talked to,
like,
Fox about it.
Yeah, yeah, and he's like, you want to be able to turn your head. Like, it's a big joke.
Yes.
And then the weird thing is, with the Ben Affleck one coming out, they wanted to go back to the cowl cape connected thing.
Yeah.
They were like,
yeah.
We are choosing to go back to Batman can't turn his head.
So weird.
Which is odd.
It is.
Which is odd. I was like, I think...
He needs to be able to turn his head.
I think to be an effective crime fighter, he needs to be able to look left and right.
Uh-huh.
Not everything is happening straight in front of you.
You gotta swing your whole body around just to see what's over there.
Yeah, that's the...
All dramatic. So maybe it's a dramatic thing, so the cape wafts with him while he turns around.
Those big movements actually do work great for the 89 Batman. Because Michael Keaton's always like, whoosh. Starting 180 degrees to see what's going on next to him. But it's very dramatic. You get hit a Danny Elfman like, bum, 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 and then he turns.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets punched in the back of the head because he can't move around fast enough.
Correct.
So what's to tie the Willem Dafoe thing. I saw something kind of interesting yesterday about how he probably could have been cast, should have been cast as a Joker somewhere. He's got
you
the
know
face.
What?
He does have the face.
He's got the face.
And the manic energy and that sense of danger, especially slightly younger Dafoe. He's a little older now. But maybe in the 90s, totally, he could have been a great Joker. Also, even though he was the Riddler, Jim Carrey would have been. I think he would have been a better Joker than a Riddler.
Mm-hmm. I was still hoping that, I'm forgetting. Michael Anthony Hall would have ended up getting the,
you know, even,
the Riddler role.
If they had him in the movies and he ended up just being a guy on TV.
Could have like spun it off to where when he got taken by Joker that he got that like
could have done something
evilness
to him
and turned into the Riddler.
Could have done something. Yeah. Michael Anthony Hall is good.
Yeah.
I remember the moment, I don't remember the moment, but there was that moment where I realized that skinny Anthony Michael Hall from Breakfast Club all of a sudden turned into beefy Anthony Michael Hall and Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Like when I was a kid, I never connected those two.
Yeah.
And then when I got older, I was like, wait, that's the same person.
Yes, it is.
How did he do that?
He's the weird science guy, too.
The weird science guy. It's like the kid in Weird Science ate the kid in Breakfast Club and became the kid in Edward Scissorhands.
Yes.
Pretty amazing. The Hunter, it's a good movie. I'm glad it finally got picked because I was in there for a while, and I'm surprised it's still on Netflix.
People
get on it. Because it may not be on there for long.
That might be my post work shift watch tonight.
There you go. Drink some beers, chill out, and look at Willem Dafoe. Be like, I'm gonna kill this tiger, or am I?
That's right. Get ready for my Fat Kid Monday, my day off of everything.
Oh hell yeah, Fat Kid Monday.
I love it.
That sounds fun to me. Usually that's Sunday for me. That's why I'm already drinking. All right, Hunter, great choice. Box office recap. Drew, you got the numbers there?
Yes, sir.
What are the what are our estimates?
Coming in number five this week, Hotel Transylvania Dose.
All right.
We can gross 12 and a quarter million, total of 136.
All right, 136.
Wow.
Definitely, I mean, I think it's going to make more than the first Hotel Transylvania. Third one's coming for sure. I mean, hell, when we're at the theater, we're still seeing families there showing up.
Yeah, they all showed up for a different movie, Chris.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Number four this week.
I mean, look at the numbers.
Yeah,
exactly. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Coming to number four this week, Crimson Peak.
Oh, they're showing up for Crimson Peak, huh?
Nope.
Nah.
Only had family oriented.
Only had a weekend gross of 12.8 million.
12.8?
Same total. Budget of 55.
55 million? I thought the budget was much higher than that. Yeah, you know, that's the thing. Crimson Peak is not the type of movie that has a lot of commercial potential.
Well, I mean, it's... I mean, even the trailer sold it as a movie that it's not necessarily.
It tried to sell more horror, even yes. more horror than it is. It takes a minute to get there.
Yeah, it does. You know, well, not really. I mean,
in the beginning, there's something in the beginning.
Starts off real quick.
Yeah.
And then you're right, it does take a while.
And then they slow it down and they get into the gothic drama, gothic romance costume drama aspect yes. of it. For a while, it's like Martin Scorsese's Age of Innocence with Daniel Day-Lewis and Winona Ryder. Yeah. It's like, gentlemen, would you like to see tonight's debutantes? And he's like, no, I want this lady over here. Yeah. And will you dance with me? This is the perfect waltz, et cetera, et cetera.
So with a candle.
Yeah, our candle won't be put out as we waltz together spectacularly.
That was really weird.
It takes a minute for it to get into a place of like horror and danger, but when it gets there, mm-hmm.
it is really creepy.
It's creepy, and at times, this is Del Toro style. Something like it reminded me of Pan's Labyrinth or The Devil's Backbone,
uh-huh.
in that the movies overall are not very violent.
No,
but when the violence happens,
oh good lord, is it violent?
Oh yeah. My god, holy cow! The things that happen in that movie are like what? Yeah. I was not expecting that uh-huh. that level of grossness.
Yes.
I think we're going to have to do a bonus episode, Drew.
Okay.
So we can talk about the things that happened specifically, because I do want to... There's some things in that movie that are like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And then the last like 20, 30 minutes, when you finally learn what's going on, it is so off the rails, insane. Like, I'm surprised this movie really got made.
Yeah.
So well, worth the watch is what you're saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It sounds pretty awesome. Totally. What you guys are describing it.
It is a wild, wild movie. And you know what? The movie, if it's... It's nothing
yeah.
if not... exceedingly gorgeous to okay. look at.
Yeah, it really is.
It is a beautiful film, production wise, the design, the sets, the clothing they wear.
Okay.
The music is great. The way it's directed, you know, Del Toro's a very, he's a formalist in terms of he doesn't do crazy camera movements. It's like, just here's some beautiful compositions. I read something interesting about the effects. This doesn't give anything away. It's in all the trailers, but the main threat of the movie ostensibly is that they're in a haunted mansion, a big mm-hmm. haunted house. So there's a lot of ghosts, creepy yeah. looking ghosts, and you could kind of tell this in the movie. It had a very interesting effect. The people who played the ghosts, they're actual people on the set,
mm-hmm.
and they're in makeup, like full ghost makeup.
Okay,
and then they used computers to make them more translucent.
That, you know, oh, wow. it almost looked like that's what was going on.
Yeah, because it was like these. Because there are points where
I was like, these CG people actually look like real people.
Yeah,
which is really hard to do and very expensive.
Yeah, they look very like when they get to a point where because they're like they are translucent, they're kind of forming, and then when okay. they get to a point where they do form more fully, and they're like these weird. Like bloody, like you just see their musculatures mm-hmm. and whatever damage was done to them, mm-hmm. their bodies. It has like a weird solidness to it. That's like, that does not look like CG.
You could really tell at the end with the last ghost,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, the last couple ones yeah. where they show them to you like full, like boom in full light or whatever. Yeah. yeah. It's a wild, wild movie. Really, really liked it, I gotta say. Obviously, I think it's really obvious I really liked it. Did you? How did you feel about it?
I enjoyed it. I mean, it's Del Toro, so he has, you know, a specific style.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely not the movie that I thought it was gonna be. But more
drama heavy in terms of
yeah, but they kind of spelled that out for you in the movie if you were paying attention.
Sure.
So
yeah, it's as the movie's playing, they're not tricking you.
No,
it's more like the marketing is kind of trying to sell. And there's an obvious reason why $12 million opening weekend.
Yeah,
maybe they should have been more straightforward. I don't know, maybe it would have made less. Like, hey, there's a great waltz scene in this movie. You know, maybe that would have brought the people out. Probably not. I mean, the theater we saw it in was pretty full though.
Yeah,
and. horror films and comedies are best for a full theater.
Yeah.
Because you can tell when the movie's actually working.
Yeah.
And there are definitely some moments where people are like,
Yeah, and then there were and then there were some of the same reactions that I had where people just straight up laughed.
Yeah, some things are so, some things are so ridiculous that you can only laugh. Only laugh. The movie The Road. You ever see The Road?
Yes.
Viggo Mortensen, and he's transporting a kid through a wasteland.
You have to find humor in that movie, because if you don't, you will shoot yourself.
It's such a dour film.
I need a shower.
Yeah. There's one scene where he gets shot in the leg by some random dude with an arrow.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they drag him inside Viggo Mortensen, and he has to like pull the arrow out of his leg. The camera. They do a close up shot of his thigh.
Yep, and just pops it through.
Yeah, his hand is grabbing the chef. He's like, and he's pulling on it, and it's really gross and intense looking. I was in a packed theater when I saw this, like opening weekend. As soon as I saw the arrow in the leg and him pulling on it, I laughed, and I had to like cover I laughed really loud to the point where some people turned like, this? Obviously they're thinking this isn't funny. Yeah. This guy's pulling an arrow. I was like, and I'm just thinking it's hysterical that we're all in a theater watching a Viggo Mortensen movie, and many people in this theater essentially got tricked into watching a scene like this where it's like, I'll pull an arrow out of his leg. I bet you motherfuckers didn't think this was gonna happen, and it did. That just happens. You gotta laugh. Drew's right. Sometimes you just gotta laugh, or else it's like, what the fuck am I watching? What am I doing with my life? So I would say see it in the theater, for sure. Definitely worth it.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, the bigger the screen, the higher the quality.
Yeah, absolutely. So people, only $12 million. It's not going to be around for much longer.
No.
No.
Maybe a month.
It's got a 68% rating at Rotten Tomatoes.
Really? What is the consensus on the Rotten Tomatoes?
Crimson Peak offers an engaging, albeit somewhat slight, diversion driven by a delightfully creepy atmosphere and director Guillermo del Toro's brilliant knack for unforgettable visuals.
Slight diversion. That feels very backhanded. That it's like, it's not a weighty film. Does it have to be, though? The Thing is not necessarily a weighty movie. I mean, it says some things
it's just
about...
super creepy.
It says some things about trusting people and nature of humanity, but it doesn't mean it's like profound.
No.
The movie doesn't have to be profound to be great, right?
And this movie is not, it's not very profound at all.
No, it's just a well-made movie.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said before, isn't Guillermo basically all about the visual now anyway?
Yeah, he is.
He is.
Very much.
Yeah.
But he's all about just making weird movies. The weirder the concept, the happier it is to try to make it.
Absolutely. And the cooler it is to watch, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I want to see more shit like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crimson Peak, good stuff. Go see it, people.
Coming to number three this week.
Number three.
Bridge of Spies.
Oh, okay.
We can gross to $15.5 million. Same as total.
Senor Spielberg.
Budget of 40.
$40 million budget?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing with Spielberg, man. He'll make $40 million look like 80.
Yeah.
He will. Because it's a good-looking movie. Of course it's a good-looking movie. It's Spielberg.
Absolutely.
It's not like he has any idea what he's doing.
Right. Really. He hasn't been doing it for 40 years.
And it's not like his lead character has ever worked with him before or done Hanks anything guy. Significant.
Yeah.
Whoever the fuck this Tom Hanks dude is.
Whoever this Thanks guy is. Yeah, we're talking about one of the greatest directors and one of our best actors working together again. A story that's the old inspired by true events thing, which you know how much... At the end of the movie, they even give you the text like, this character ended up doing this character did that. And I still don't believe that shit, man.
Yeah.
You know, they did that at the end of Pain and Gain with made-up characters. The Rock character was a made-up amalgamation.
And he's out doing this.
Yeah, and then at the end of the movie, they're like, this person is out of jail and blah, blah. Like, he's not even real.
Well, they had to give you one guy that made it out, right?
Right,
The real guys are definitely not out of jail.
Yeah, they were not. Well, I think one guy was. Oh, man, that was a crazy real story.
Let's just grill some hands.
Yeah,
that actually happened. I know.
That happened.
That really happened.
The fucked up things happened. Anyway, but we're talking about Bridge of Spies. There are no grilling hands, but it still gets pretty intense because we're talking about, the Americans find a Russian spy and they convict him. And Tom Hanks is kind of co-opted into defending him to show that they have the legal processes, you know, a due process and all that. Mm-hmm. And he's a man of conviction. That's what Spielberg does.
And a man of insurance.
Man of insurance. Yes, he's an insurance man.
Okay.
An insurance lawyer who also did a little bit of criminal work. And what Spielberg does, he makes movies are always
a little bit
black and white,
work.
Red and wrong.
A little bit.
That's what they said. They said he did some criminal work.
Yeah, a little bit, but they made a very poignant point to note what it was.
Oh, yeah.
He was a prosecutor at the Nuremberg trials, Chris.
Yeah.
Pretty big trial.
Yeah. Pretty big. It was a big trial. Yeah. Also a prosecutor, though, not a defender.
Correct.
Anyway.
Shocked is only 15 and a half?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you would think...
It was built up a lot.
It was built up a lot, and you would think but then maybe it's a subject matter. People are just like, it's not an... the very easy sell, because then ends up being about an exchange, and he's negotiating an exchange, a captured American pilot in Russia. And actually, in Turkey.
I thought we were supposed to be afraid of the Soviets again, though. So we're
You kind of are. The Cold War. How much does the Cold War resonate now with people? Yeah, you know, really especially of a certain age, you have to be reminded. It's like when I was watching a movie, I was like, man, all these guys are giving the Tom Hanks character so much shit.
Remember,
for defending an accused Soviet spy. I mean, give the guy his due process. I have to remind myself, well, it's actually the Cold War.
Everyone's a bad time.
Everyone's very afraid of nuclear fallout. Mm-hmm. Like, it was imminent to them. I guess we're too removed
for anybody to correlate the Soviets with the Russians that we're supposed to fear today.
The Russians, who it's like, they're more, shout outs are a few Russian listeners, but I mean, come on.
You guys are screwed over there.
The way you're portrayed in the American media is not good.
Just send us more pictures of Putin shirtless on a horse.
Exactly. That's all we're looking for.
fucking Putin. God, fuck that guy.
Can't wait till they ruins the World Cup now.
Yeah, right?
It'll be following up the Olympics.
And they're doing, aren't they also aiming for another Olympics too, I think? Because no one else wants the Olympics.
They're trying.
We'll take another Olympics.
It costs too much money to have the Olympics,
It really does.
Well, they perfected it when the last Olympics in Sochi cost $51 billion, and they didn't even have things finished. Where did that money go? It's called Russian mob.
Yeah, and now it's all empty. It's just a ghost town.
Yeah, so, well, it's so weird.
It's the same thing with all the World Cup stadiums in Brazil.
Oh, yeah, the one in the middle of the jungle.
Yeah, it's already overrun.
Yeah.
It's amazing. The fucking monkeys living there now. Yeah. And it's tigers awesome. And shit.
They're playing soccer. Nobody knows.
It's like the Jungle Book.
Some badass soccer games going on down there.
It's a Jungle Book, and we already know because the jungle's too thick to get through. What were they thinking?
Maybe that's where they filmed the new Jungle Book. Maybe that's what it is. It's actually real.
Maybe.
We just went to that soccer stadium.
Saw that trailer again.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there actually is a snake out there with Scarlett Johansson's voice.
I don't need to see no giant snake.
But it has Scarlett Johansson's voice.
It's weird looking. They got another one coming out where Andy Serkis is directing it, and it's all people doing motion capture as opposed to entirely computer animated people on sets with wearing leotards with little balls on them walking around like animals.
Sweet.
That's got to be an awkward experience for everyone. It's like, what do you say? Oh, I'm a monkey. What are you? Right. I'm a cheetah.
So how do you move around like the snake? That's what I would like to know.
You're like, okay, this is not a visual podcast. People did not see Drew and I gyrate like idiots.
It's like a guy in a green suit just rolling around.
Yeah, just rolling around. Like, just roll it around. We swap you out with snake later.
We'll figure it out.
I don't know why I made Andy Serkis Russian, because we saw Bridge of Spies, which was a good movie. I liked it. Obviously, it's Spielberg. It's very cinematic. Mm. It looks great. It sets out to make its point, and it does so, but I still don't feel like you need to rush out and go see it, though, you know?
Okay.
It's a well-made movie.
So does it deserve
it's
the Oscar?
It's professionally made.
No.
Because I feel like that before it came out, that was the conversation.
It's one.
Of course.
It was
Spielberg,
potential.
Hanks,
Oscar
all day.
No.
With the subject matter, true story, et cetera. It was in the conversation before anyone saw it.
Gotcha. Yeah,
now that it's out,
no,
it's good, but it's not going to be like
best an honorable picture. Mention at the Golden Globes.
Yeah, exactly. They'll be at the Golden Globes. They'll be nominated just so Tom Hanks will show up at the Golden Globes party.
Rotten Tomatoes certified fresh, 92%.
92?
Wow.
Because like you said, it's well made.
Well, Bridge of Spies finds a new life in Hollywood's classic Cold War espionage thriller formula, thanks to reliably outstanding work from Steven Spielberg.
No, Hanks is totally getting an Oscar.
He'll get nominated, but if he wins,
if he's nominated, he always wins.
If he wins, he shouldn't win. I've seen better performances from other people this year.
Yeah, so far, and we still got a bunch of movies to come out too. Yeah. It's still very early in the Oscar season. 20 weeks to Oscar, as a matter of fact, we're 5 months away.
Wow.
It
just happened.
Yeah, right.
It did.
Well, 7 months ago, right? Yeah, that's how math works.
Yes.
No, it doesn't. Yeah,
math. Correct.
7 plus 5 is 12.
Couple months in a year, Chris.
I hate math. So, yeah, it's well made, it's good, but it's not great. It didn't blow me away. I wasn't bored, but the movie is a little long, for sure.
Definitely.
I mean, 2.5 hours, and it's a 2.5 that you're going to feel.
Yeah.
So it might be best to see it at home, where you can like kind of stretch your legs, get up, walk around, maybe do some laundry in the middle.
I'm okay with this.
Eat something,
get a sandwich.
Yeah.
Bowl of ice cream.
Sounds good.
So they gave it 92% on there.
92% fresh, yeah.
Okay, sure. That's fine. That was number three.
Yes.
Man, not even close to the top. What was our number two?
Number two, The Martian, Chris, made an additional $21.5 million, total of $143.
Wow.
People want to see that Mark Watney.
Financial hit for sure.
Yeah.
Very good movie.
Very good book.
Very good book. Turns to a very good movie. It's really Scott.
We talked about it at length. that nobody knows about.
We talk about it for almost an hour. Talking about the movie and the book.
And it...
And then Blue Circle of Death.
Yes.
And Software Meltdown.
And it was gone into the ether.
Gone forever. And then I thought about trying to recreate it. But there's no point.
You can't recreate those things.
You know.
Oh, yes.
Such a disappointing thing when that happens. Fortunately, we're still recording here. And
at least it's a good memory.
Yeah.
You remember it.
We had a nice conversation.
We had a good conversation about it. It was nice.
We had a nice conversation over beers about the Martian.
Just tell everybody how great it was. Pretty much. Best conversation ever.
We'll do a spoiler bonus episode where we talked about the episode for like half an hour.
Gotcha.
This is what we did when we talked about it.
That's fantastic.
And then we'll lose that one at the end. And then we'll just...
This is one I'm bummed I have not seen yet.
It's worth it.
I've been too busy to get to the theater and it's killing me.
It's worth it.
I don't know if you read it all, but if not, you should definitely read the book.
Yeah. It's a very good book.
The book is awesome.
Very good book. Kind of the opposite of Bridge of Spies, where The Martian is also 2.5 hours, but it goes by a lot quicker.
So quick. Okay.
Yeah, because it's just like problem after problem. And so once they solve one problem, here comes the next four that they have to solve.
Gotcha.
A lot of bouncing around between characters. And even though it's about one dude stranded on Mars, they're going to NASA in Houston. They're going to a jet propulsion company. They're going to the people on the Hermes spacecraft. You know, a lot of interaction going on there.
He doesn't end up going through like a interdimensional thing through a black hole. No floating through space in a spacesuit, right?
No, and then ending up in a bookshelf dimension.
And personally, I'd be fine with that because I love ridiculousness in my sci-fi movies and speculation. But this one, it's much more. Even though it's about a dude on Mars, it's much more grounded.
Yeah. And honestly, I did love Interstellar. That part I was like, what did you just do?
It gets crazy. It gets a little crazy. Yeah, and that's speculative sci-fi where we're like, we think things like this could happen.
And it's really weird too because, I mean, Christopher Nolan has kind of been known to make some really weird sci-fi movies.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Interstellar was just like, it was too much for people.
It was. Yeah. It took some time. I mean,
people who loved Inception, which is a mind fucking a half.
Yeah.
We're not down with Interstellar.
Maybe because Interstellar was straddling that line between we're doing realistic grounded sci-fi, but we're also speculating on black holes and what might be through them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's my fiance just screaming, why aren't they spaghettified?
Which they should be. Yeah.
With our current knowledge, yes.
Yes,
it's a movie, honey.
But technically, no one's gone through a black hole and then told us what happens.
So we don't really know.
Yeah.
So maybe you're not spaghettified.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Nolan could have nailed it.
He could have.
Neil deGrasse Tyson's a smart guy and all, but you can't believe everything he says. Just because he loves saying spaghettification, he says it. And then he does this with his hands every time he says it. I love that guy. Martian's good. It's definitely worth checking out. Okay. And then again, it's a type of thing where it's definitely worth seeing in a theater. Mm-hmm. It benefits from the bigger screen. Not every movie is like that. Yeah. The Martian is one that does benefit from
it. It's Matt Damon.
So. Yeah, it's really Scott. Matt
Mr.
Damon.
Mr. Boston.
Matt
like
Damon. And Matt Damon's perfect casting for that role. I'm pretty sure the guy who wrote the book, when he wrote the lead character, he was thinking of Matt Damon the whole time.
Probably. Damon.
Yeah, it was perfect. That was number two.
Yes.
So did all the families go see the number one?
Yeah, they did.
What was the number one movie?
Goosebumps.
Oh,
Chris.
Goosebumps.
It had a weekend gross of $23.5 million.
Not bad. Did I have a budget?
58.
See, now that budget feels a little higher than I would have expected.
Lots of special effects.
That is a special effects heavy movie. Yeah.
Jack Black's not cheap.
As he shouldn't be.
Jables.
He's Jack Black.
Yes.
He's the wonderful Jack Black. He can be wonderful. And sometimes he's done Gulliver's Travels.
Some terrible movies.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, this is coming from the team that brought you Gulliver's Travels.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Jack Black and the same director.
But do you already have the Rotten Tomatoes there? I'm interested in seeing what the overall score came out on that one. Because I am kind of interested in the movie, but not enough to see it over a Guillermo del Toro and a Steven Spielberg movie.
No.
Like, I'm seeing those first.
See that inner child of me?
Yeah,
I really want to see this really badly.
Oh, sure.
I'm dying to see it.
Even the marketing, it seems like this is the type of movie that kids are really going to enjoy.
It's 71%.
That's not bad.
It's pretty good.
What was the average rating? Is it like
6.3?
6.3, that's not bad.
Well, that inner child of mine that still watches Home Alone every Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm down. I want to see this.
What's the consensus?
Goosebumps boasts just enough of its spooky source material's kid-friendly charm to make up for the script's scattershot humor and a punishingly frantic pace.
So they overwrote the goofiness of Jack Black, probably.
Yeah, they tried to.
I'm guessing.
Or maybe they try to rein him in. In the trailer, he looks kind of reined in a little bit. I'm sure he does get to... As long as he doesn't play any hand trumpet at one point.
Yeah.
I think he does.
Stupid.
When he started doing that in Nacho Libre, I was like, what? Even that character is going to play mouth instruments?
They all do.
I want to see the Goosebumps movie. I'll probably end up like a DVD Redbox type of thing. It looks, I mean, a bunch of different creatures.
I'll like, give it an on-demand. Give it $5.99.
Yeah, there's like a Yeti and a crazy puppet thing and the Invisible Boy.
I mean, I literally had all of the books.
Yeah.
Every last one of them. And it was like the great, even till I was like 15, so I was can buying them.
So then I'm assuming then, obviously, if they're using the brand, the monsters that are in the movie are all like straight from the books then, right?
I think what they basically did, wasn't it like almost like a Jumanji type thing?
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
the books come to life
exactly.
and attack you.
So, yeah, like
you know,
every,
the living dummies there, and then the Yeti, and then you know.
Yeah, like Jack Black's actually playing R.L. Stine.
Yeah,
and like all the books that he wrote, the creatures became real, so he had to lock up the books, and then some dude like opens them all up at the same time, like or they opens idiot. Up one like the storm.
I love that
plot. I think it's a fun idea. Whoever came up with that was like really put on their thinking cap. Like, how can we adapt this Goosebumps thing into
because for without every,
doing one specific book?
For every Chris Nolan flick, I need a Goosebumps.
Sure.
I need something to chill out the brain.
Yeah.
Real simple, straightforward, stupid.
Just a straight shot of dopamine right into the middle of your
brain. Absolutely.
In the version of a kid's movie. Well, I'll see it eventually, right, Drew? We'll see it.
Yeah, you can watch it. You have fun with that.
All right, Drew.
Something you can watch that while I watch The Green Inferno on DVD.
Oh, yeah. Those are opposite movies. Green Inferno is not my bag. New movies coming out on DVD this week. Paper Towns. That little movie about the girl who like does a bunch of pranks and then leaves.
Oh, yeah.
And then everyone's asking their neighbor, like, where'd she go? And he's like, I don't know. I think it's the plot. And Jurassic World.
Oh, that J World.
That little
limited edition with a t-shirt.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
At the
they're like, they know people are going to buy
that. Best Buy. I saw that on TV yesterday and said, going. That's, I will right be now. There Tuesday right they, when I wake up.
They got to try to get people to go to Best Buy somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. These days.
I remember when you walked into a Best Buy and a quarter of the store was DVDs.
Yeah.
And CDs.
And CDs. And now it's like four shelves of stuff.
Well, see, I used to, I would avoid this back before. I was much bigger, not that long ago, pushing 350. You know, a big dude. And those t-shirts always come large.
Yeah, they do.
Always. Damn it.
Yeah, they do.
Like, I bought a Lonely Island album with a t-shirt. I was like, I'll never wear this
because
I'm giant.
But did you keep the shirt?
I kept the shirt. I still have it. Now I can wear it.
There you go.
Which I need to, I just thought, I'm glad that came up. I got to search for that shirt now so I can wear it now. But I think I can wear the Jurassic Park shirt. And I'm wearing that on Tuesday.
Nice. Very nice. I've definitely done that in the past where I bought shirts that are a little too tight. And I'm like, I'll lose weight.
Maybe one day.
And I set it aside. And then I think they end up becoming dish rags for the car or wash rags.
It works out when you do end up losing the weight, though.
Because
then you go in your closet and you're like, hey, wait, there's that whole stash of t-shirts I've never once worn.
Yeah.
And I can just pull out. Here we go.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very nice. Well done. Well, that's coming out for everyone. Get on that limited edition. You got to get in front of Mike to get your shirt because he's going to get his.
I'll fight you for it.
I wonder if it's going to be like. Have you seen the shirt? Is it the logo?
I haven't seen it.
I wonder if it's like Jurassic Park logo.
It's probably the J World logo.
And then it says J World. Well, because then it's in silver.
Yeah.
As opposed to the red and black.
Correct.
Yeah.
Maybe it's on the website here.
It's a fun movie. Not bad. And it made like $1.7 billion worldwide or something.
See, I absolutely loved it because it was exactly as dumb as I wanted it to be.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Like it was everything I wanted it to be. It made up for three.
Yeah, three is, yeah.
I was young enough to still love two because I was like 13, so I loved it.
And it's still a Spielberg thing. Again, even his worst movies are better than most people's good movies.
Watching it now, you're like, could have done without San Diego. But as a child, I'm like, it's like a real life Godzilla, except for it's not real life because it's still a dinosaur.
The T-Rex knocking over the gas station, that 76 ball was fun when you were a kid.
Oh, and the Japanese people running away yelling Godzilla was phenomenal. Yeah,
when you're a child, absolutely hilarious. When you're a child, it's hysterical. When you're an adult, you're like, that's a racist.
Yeah.
But still.
A little bit now.
Yeah.
Just like the old Asian lady who loves robot movies.
Oh, I love robots. Yeah. And the Regal opening thing. I'm telling you, those two dudes are gay.
Yeah. You don't mind if I scream loud.
You don't mind if I scream, right?
Yeah.
Like a lot. That's what he says. So that's what's coming out on DVD. What's coming out in theaters, Drew?
There's this tiny little movie called Steve Jobs that comes out.
Steve Jobs.
Directed by some unknown Danny Boyle. Written by a guy, Alan Sorkin, that nobody's probably ever heard of.
Alan Sorkin, Aaron Sorkin's brother.
Yep.
His unknown brother.
Correct.
Looking forward to it. Finally coming out. Nationwide, anyway. It's been out for 2 weeks, and people have been... it's blue with black.
Jurassic World logo.
And it's blue with black. I like that. I like the blue is calmer. That was smart. The red is like exciting. Like, oh my goodness, these animals are going to kill us. They're like, we need to change it to blue so people don't freak out when they come see our dinosaurs. And then they break out.
Kill us.
And then they start killing
us. I do question the idea to do more. How many times are you going to get burned on this?
Well, here's the thing. They actually came up with a good idea for Jurassic World 2, I guess they'll call it. Because obviously The company InGen is who the Jurassic World. They're going to be bankrupt after this horrible mess. Yeah. But B.D. Wong got out with the samples.
Correct. He did.
Yeah. So the idea is that he's going to disseminate all that technology around the world. And so like 10 years down the road from Jurassic, the events in Jurassic World, there are going to be dinosaur things all over the place.
That's awesome.
Like it's literally going to be a Jurassic World.
We're going to put rocket launchers on raptors and have them, you know, shoot lasers out of their eyes.
That's coming, man.
Let's do it.
For the longest time, they were developing the Jurassic World 4, and it was heavily involved animals that were outfitted with weapons, and they're like human animal hybrids that were going to be dinosaur soldiers. Yeah, yeah, that would have been batshit insane.
Yeah.
I'm just happy they got good. Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard back for this.
Yeah, well, you're going to pay him so much money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You guys want to get paid? Let me think about it.
Bryce looked good in that one.
Yeah.
She was holding it down.
Yeah.
I know she was running through the jungle in high heels.
And high heels.
Which was confusing.
Which apparently she insisted on that.
Really?
Yeah, the director was like, I think we should at some point have you take your shoes off.
That'll never be a problem when there's mud.
Yeah. And she's like, no, I'm going to wear them the whole time.
So weird.
Spiky ones, too. Not even like subtle.
No.
Not even subtle heels.
4-inch heels.
Anything else come out on the in theaters?
Paranormal Activity: The Ghost Dimension.
Oh, that looks horrible.
Terrible. Jump in the shark.
Yeah. And it's a 3D one, too. 3D found footage movie. Okay. How does that work? So someone found the footage and 3D glasses right next to it. The
yes. Time. Probably a limited release of Burnt.
Yeah.
The new Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, that's going to be limited.
Also, I'm not sure, maybe limited, maybe wide release Rock the Casbah, the new Bill Murray.
Could get a lot of push. I think it's going to be pretty big.
Yeah, it could be like one of those 1500 screen releases. Yeah. It's not limited, but in town we'll be playing in like three theaters.
I know maybe. We're pushing it at the radio station. We have a lot of giveaways involving it. So I'm thinking they're trying.
So maybe over at like Winter Park and AMC, Universal.
I mean, they've got the poster for it out in front of the Winter Park.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
So it's definitely coming.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe that's a wide release then.
Also, another one that it's I saw I have not seen a single bit of publicity for: Gem and the Holograms.
Yeah, I don't think that's coming out. I don't know why that's listed, because no commercials, no nothing. No. There's no way they're gonna put it out with nothing, even though they turned Gem into a YouTube star.
Did they?
Yes.
Awesome. So and stupid. Also,
and I think they took away the talking computer.
A movie that I'm very much looking forward to see, just for its crap factor.
Ruined it.
Last Witch Hunter.
The Last Witch Hunter,
I'm very much looking forward to Vin Diesel in fantasy mode. He's going full-on dork for this one, Chris.
It looks so weird and over the top.
And awful. Yeah. It looks bad.
Looks like they spent a lot of money to make a bad movie.
For some reason, I can't wait to see it.
It looks like it's going to be enjoyable.
Well, yeah, and that I get to see Michael Caine again.
Michael Caine, again. Uh-huh. He's like, you are the last witch hunter.
He's so old. One of these days, we're just going to... There's going to be no more Michael Caine.
That's true, actually.
The original Alfie.
Yeah.
But not the original Alfred. But maybe the best.
No. Oh, definitely the best.
Definitely the best.
Right now, but we got that Jeremy Irons coming.
Yeah.
Jeremy Irons.
I don't think you can do it.
No.
I think I'm going to like the guy on Gotham better.
The guy in Gotham? Get out of
here. Who that guy is.
There's an Alfred. I guess there has to be an Alfred on Gotham, right? That makes sense. He's young Bruce Wayne. So that's it. Yeah, I'm sure that one's probably gonna be a wide release. Okay. You know what, Drew?
What?
It is time for your 2 cents. Dr. Drew's 2 cents. Here's my favorite intro of all the intros. And it's Drew's. And it's long as fuck.
I don't know why it's so long.
Because I couldn't just pick one song.
So you had a radio tune in them all.
I picked them all.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
The doctor is in. Dr. Drew, take it away, sir. What are your 2 cents?
All right. This week, I'm talking about video games and comics again, Chris.
All right.
It's a new month, and there's new stuff coming out.
Okay.
So, in the month of November, if anybody cares, there's a new Need for Speed game that comes out. If you're a racing game fan at all,
okay.
I'm totally not, so I don't care.
All right.
Also, on the 4th, Marvel's All New Universe.
Marvel's All Comic Book.
Yes.
Okay.
Because
is that the one with Lady Wolverine?
Yes.
Okay.
We have what do we got here? We have a new Avengers cast,
mm-hmm.
a female Wolverine,
mm-hmm.
a new Hulk, and apparently Devil Dinosaur is getting his own book. I have no idea who that is.
Who?
Exactly.
Devil Dinosaur?
Yes.
That sounds awesome.
Then on November 10th,
Satanic Stegosaurus.
November 10th, My Social Life is Over, Chris. Fallout 4 comes out for Xbox One, PC, and PS4.
There we go.
And my life is over.
There you go.
I will be spending the next however many hundreds of hours in the wasteland.
Ladies trying to hang out with Drew Sakai, you better do it before then, ladies.
Also that week, Rise of the Tomb Raider comes out, the sequel to the highly acclaimed...
The last Tomb Raider game?
That came out. That was really good.
That was really popular. I remember
people,
I was like, Tomb Raider's popular again? That's crazy.
Yes. A week later, Star Wars Battlefront comes out.
Okay. A lot of stuff coming out. A
lot of Star Wars stuff coming out. This Battlefront game looks insane.
Star Wars games always look pretty crazy.
And on the 25th, comic news... The Dark Knight Returns, Part 3.
What?
The Dark Knight 3, The Master Race.
He's back
comes
again.
Out in graphic novel form. Apparently...
And he's a white supremacist?
With the epic ending you never saw coming, Chris.
He's a white supremacist. I didn't see that one coming.
It's Frank Miller again, so...
Yeah, well, he is a right-wing asshole.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he wrote good comics in the 80s. And 300's pretty good.
So maybe. He might be.
But I would not be surprised if he made a... Bruce Wayne, kind of a David Duke type of character.
And that's my 2 cents.
Thank you, Drew. We appreciate it, sir. Let's take a break. Crespo Disco time. I actually mentioned one of these movies already. I actually mentioned this guy already. I got a Danny Elfman twofer. The score for The Wolfman. You guys remember The Wolfman with Benicio Del Toro?
That awful piece of crap.
Awful piece of crap. That's correct.
Pretty bad.
It's a bummer of a movie. It should have been great.
It was not.
But there's some shenanigans with the production, with the getting a new director before the movie started. It did not turn out well, and that sucks because it should have been awesome. Anthony Hopkins, Benicio Del Toro, Emily Blunt, Hugo Weaving. Come on, Danny Elfman score. The only thing that survived from that movie, really, is the Danny Elfman score.
Okay.
And it's fantastic. Fantastic. So here's the very first track off it. Wolf Suite 1, which I'll then follow up with. Something that people recognize much more. The main theme song from Edward Scissorhands.
Nice.
There we go. So to get into the 80s kid for all you. Enjoy these Elfman tunes. We'll be back with the second half of the show with Drew and Mike. You guys ready?
Yes.
Always.
All right, here we go. Thank you.
Welcome to the Quest Logo.
Thank you. You guys are so awesome. We appreciate it. We are back with episode 145. I am hanging out with Drew.
What up?
And Mike Venditti.
What's going on?
Good old Diddy. How you guys doing, man?
Good. Doing great.
Yeah, thanks for coming out. We appreciate it, Mike.
Yeah, anytime.
Let's get the let's get them plugs going. Get them out of the way. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419, all over the
internet, man. It's Antihero419. He's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's all the same.
Yep, it's all me.
It was a smart move.
Should be.
You don't have to give out 1,000 different things.
Nope.
Genius.
Just one.
Good job.
For everything.
Congratulations.
I had to start early.
How many Twitter follows we got you up to?
I don't know. Let me check. You can do something.
100 something?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
Because, you know, Chris, I use Twitter so often.
I know, but I still like to see. I still like to see if people even bother. Because we say every week, follow you on Twitter at AntiAir419 on all things Twitter.
I have 130 followers.
Hey, there we go. All right. Congratulations, Drew. Very nice. 130 followers. That's what I'm talking about.
Doesn't matter.
Tweet him. He'll retweet you.
Maybe.
To his 129 other followers. Because I'm assuming you're one of the 130. Mike.
You can follow yourself. I can add one more.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I got to do that.
Really? I just start following myself.
Follow yourself. Just look in the mirror. Where can people find you online?
You can get me on Twitter at Diddy33, D-I-T-T-I.
D-I-T-T-I, yes.
Venditti. Well before Puffy changed his name. Name thief.
He was a biter.
Yeah.
That's all on him.
And then the blogs, podcasts, all that stuff can be found at InsideTheMindOfDiddy.com.
Very nice. Inside the Mind of Diddy.
Yes. And again, D-I-T-T-I.
There we go. Yeah, get it right, people. Get it right. And so what shows are you doing? I know you work at 96.9.
Yep.
Are you on a specific show over there, or are you kind of floating between a bunch of them?
I have a Sunday football show, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Okay.
Every Sunday morning, talking college and pro football.
Nice.
Mostly Florida-based only, but we kind of hit everything we can.
Sure.
And I just kind of fill in here and there on there, but also do a Your Girlfriend's Favorite Sports Show.
There you go.
It's my podcast with my friend Jordan Eichenblatt.
Great name.
That. Every Monday morning, we post it sometime during Monday.
Okay.
And you can find that. There's a link to it on InsideTheMindOfDiddy.com. You could also go, though, to Diddy, D-I-T-T-I again, .podbean.com. And they're all right there.
D-I-T-T-I.podbean.com.
Yes.
For Your Girlfriend's Favorite Sports Show.
And every other podcast I'm involved in.
Awesome. Awesome. Very cool. People, check all that out. Follow him. And, support your locals.
Absolutely.
And you national people, support us over here in Florida. Please help us out. Our California listeners and our UK listeners. A couple of you guys in France who hear about American sports. That's your show. That one guy listening in Syria, man.
Whoever he is.
Thanks for checking in, dude. I mean, shout out to you.
He's all about that Jacksonville Jaguars football team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is. He's like, maybe she's a transplant.
Rocking that Blake Bortles shirt.
People are like, Bortles? Don't worry about it. Does he play for Milan? No, don't worry about it. That's all good. Follow me on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo, and follow the show on Twitter at Crespodiso. And then the show is also on Instagram, Cinema Crespodiso, Facebook, Cinema Crespodiso. Email us for stickers. You want stickers? We'll send them to you. I just sent some more to our homie Simi Singh out there in California. He sent us some awesome pictures. See what I like what he did. That's why he's getting more stickers. He took a picture. He put one of our stickers on a sign, and then took a picture. And then the Hollywood sign up in the mountain, up in the hills, is in the background. Nice. He took another one where he put it on a sign, and across the street was the Man's Chinese Theater. If you wherever you are, even if you're like somewhere in Idaho, take a picture of a sticker in front of a potato farm or something. You know, let us know where you are. And I'll put it out there. We got pictures from like Austin and Chinatown and Philadelphia and all sorts of shit. And even if it's like up the road in Merritt Island, shit, we'll put those pictures up too.
Of course.
Because we love self-promotion. And how else can you self-promote?
Without promoting yourself.
Without others helping you. Right? Self-others? That makes sense, right? Drew?
Sure. Co-self-promotion.
Yes. Co-self-promote with us, people. CinemaCrespodiso@gmail.com. Also, if you have a movie review, a question, topic for the show, we will read it on the show. In a segment that we call the Vox Populi, you can email those at cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. Tweet us, Facebook us, we'll do it. So let's get into that right now. It's time for the segment of the people. This is your segment. It's the Vox Populi. And of course, I got the intro right here.
That moment you've all been waiting for, the world famous
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
What you say, what you
I thought it was going to go one more time. I always think it's longer. I should have made that one really long.
On Twitter.
Like 2 minutes long. Drew's got our Vox Populi. What do we got?
At Rage Against Twit got on us.
What's up?
He's got a homies. Got a Goosebumps review, Chris.
Okay, nice.
Goosebumps.
Goosebumps. Awesome.
Something familiar, old school 90s, fun, entertaining adventure action with imagination.
Okay.
Good with great production, good direction.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Black was good. Worst, Redbox. Best, Matinee. Mix of Hocus Pocus / Cabin in the Woods turned down.
Cabin in the Woods
way
turned down?
Way down. Way down. I thought it was going to be flesh-eating viruses.
Yeah. Well, it is for families. Hence the Hocus Pocus.
Yes.
But it's so good. You said it's good.
Yeah.
Good overall. You like Jack Black?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Like I said, like he said, at worst, Redbox, I'll Redbox it. Or like Mike said, maybe just on demand.
Yeah.
So I don't even have to get up, go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I do have free passes still to Regal, so maybe I'll just do that.
There you go. Free movie in the theater. Man, you can't
beat those thunderstorms back when Jurassic World happened. I've had this that long.
Oh, really?
Wow.
They knocked out the Waterford theaters.
It, yeah.
So like they pushed everybody back, gave us all free passes to have to wait an extra hour.
Then you're just like, screw it. I'll just sit on it.
Yeah.
That is funny. I was at a movie recently at the Enzian where I got an hour into the movie and then a storm knocked out the power.
Yeah.
And I had to come back the next day and finish it.
Florida.
Fortunately, it was a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it didn't have to. I wasn't suffering when I was rewatching it.
Still got to check that place out.
Yanzian?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, it's awesome.
Fantastic.
So good.
They have good movies there. They have that bar.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
And it's across the street.
Yeah, for us, it's across the street.
It is, right?
Yeah. If you want to go ahead and tell people where we are, that's fine.
on Facebook.
They're knocking on the door.
Yeah.
Paul Hein got at us.
What's up, Paul?
He's got a Spy review.
Spy.
Yes.
Mr. McCarthy movie.
Correct.
Nice. Let's hear it.
I didn't expect much from this movie from the start. The trailers were at best, and Melissa McCarthy can only do so much fat comedy.
Okay, so low expectations going into it.
Boy, was I wrong.
Oh, right.
I'm so happy all the best jokes were not given away in the trailer because the movie, it was fucking hilarious.
Mm,
on top of that, the movie also delivers some great spy action, shootouts, car chases, and fight sequences. Mm. Even the theme song is amazing. The casting for the movie was excellent. Jason Statham is over-the-top macho. Jude Law is debonair. Rose Byrne is a bitch. And everyone else fits perfectly. Aldo may have been my favorite character.
That Aldo character is really funny. He's an Italian spy who's super rapey.
Because of course he is.
Because that's not racist at all.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Melissa a lot of be racist against my people, apparently. My goodness.
Melissa McCarthy brings it all together with her outstanding performance. I saw the unrated version of this movie, so that's what I'm recommending everyone else check out.
The unrated. I wonder how much is in the unrated. Because obviously, I only saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
So hence the rated version. But it's.
I'm sure the unrated is at the Red Box.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I've said on the show before a bunch of times. I like Spy quite a bit. I think it's a very good movie. And Paul is right. The Spy theme song is great. It sounds like a classic James Bond theme song. Even the way it's done with the it's like silhouettes of women and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the style of it all. It's like, man, this guy just wanted to make a James Bond movie. But no one will give Paul Feig a James Bond movie. So he'll have to do a semi-spoof. Semi-spoof, semi-real spy film. Now I kind of want to rewatch it.
Now I want to watch it.
Yeah, it's good.
I think I'm going to check that one out.
It's actually good. That is Redbox for sure. How much is Redbox? Book 30? Book 40?
Yeah, something like that.
It's not that much. It's not that much. So,
It's not out at the Redbox yet.
Not at the Redbox yet?
Nope.
You're checking?
Yep.
It is on demand, though.
On demand. Which is
at least on cable.
For HD, then that'd be $6 probably. No, $5?
I think it's $5.99 for some of them. I don't know if this is one of those. Probably because the unrated version will probably be $5.99.
Yeah, true. They got to get you that extra dollar somehow. But I would say it's worth it for the most part. You know?
See, I usually wait for most movies to come there because it's better than paying $20 for me and the fiance to go.
Yeah, when you're doing with multiple people, when you're paying for someone else's ticket, it gets expensive. And then if you're like, oh, I want popcorn and nachos. Yeah,
$5.99
like, oh,
for both of us, and then when she starts talking, I can pause it.
There you go.
Like, are you done?
Like, what do you want to say? Okay. Can we start the movie again?
Awesome. Okay. I'm missing plot points.
Gosh.
This diehard sequel is important. I'm confused as to what's going on. Why is John McClane angry? Now we have to rewind and watch the whole thing
is
all
over. Is he
really
smoking a cigarette in an airport?
Yes.
Oh, wait, it's the 80s. Never mind.
Oh, the glorious
totally
80s.
Okay.
I like watching movies even older, like in Jaws 75. Yeah. The mayor walks into a hospital and lights a cigarette.
Yeah. You're like, holy shit. What's
going Fantastic.
That's not allowed, guys.
It's the way it used to be.
Guys, there are people in there with emphysema and cancer and stuff. And the doctor's standing over them blowing smoke into their faces.
Yeah. Cigarettes are good for you.
I wonder why it can't get better.
Our American healthcare system is working, damn it. So I normally we do Billy D's Death in the Movies. Billy D's our New York City show correspondent, horror film aficionado. You can follow him on Twitter at I Love Bud. You could follow him on Twitter at I Love Bud, but I think he's dead.
I think he might have died at the movies this
week. He finally had a death at the movies.
Yeah.
Because we have no death at the movies from Billy D.
Correct.
So he's taking a week off. He's on vacation. Actually, I should just say that. Billy D is on assignment this week. So in memory of Billy D, here's his opening theme song. Okay, so thanks, Billy.
That was awesome.
You're a good guy. We love Billy. Follow him on Twitter. I love Blood. He does our like our logos, like all our stickers and logos. Oh, shit. Drewster Cogburn versus the world. Drewster Cogburn versus the world. It's time for Drewster Cogburn versus the world. Every week, Drew takes on our guest in some trivia madness, movie-related. I'll say like this logo that like that face there,
yeah.
Like Billy did that, and nice. This stuff there, and our new one that we still got to roll that out. You can see the new logo on chriscrespo.com. We got to roll out the stickers and stuff. Now he draws them all.
Okay.
Our man here, Drew, does the old digital tracing and then the coloring and makes it pop and look all like cartoonish and cool looking. Got a pretty solid team here, guys. Mm-hmm.
Killer logo, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The new one's even better because it's got the hair going. And then Drew's face is in there and he's all like, crazy looking. Like, it's fun. Okay, so here we go. Before we do movie news, Dr. Drew's.
Oh, you got me nervous now.
Dr. Drew versus the world. Dr. Drew's a guy versus the world. You should be nervous.
I've been on a bit of a...
Well, you've been kind of back and forth lately. You know, he is so far this year 13-5
okay.
out of 18 competitive rounds of Drewster Cogburn versus the world. The world won last time.
Yes.
Last week, that was with Cody Taylor. Shout out to Cody from BestBallInsiders.com. He won, so that means, Mike, you're going to get to go first. This game is called Horror Movie Villainy.
Okay.
I'm assuming this one from Curtis Earth because I just did this on his show, Curtis Earth Show. I call into that every Thursday, 6:30, 91.5. FM WPRK. I'm going to give you five movie villains, famous movie villains, movie monsters, whatever. You tell me the movie that they're from.
Okay.
And sometimes it's going to be like a series of movies. Okay. So you can just say, you know, the movie series and that'll work. So choose wisely. They have two groups here, group A and group B, five each. Which one do you want, A or B?
I'll go with B.
B, all right. Picking your poison. Here we go. I tell you the villain, you tell me the movie. Number one, Michael Myers.
Halloween.
Correct. Number two, Jason Voorhees.
Friday the 13th.
Correct. Number three, Jigsaw.
That is Saw.
Correct. Number four, Damien.
The Omen.
Correct. And number five, Captain Spaulding.
Oh. Well, it's House of Thousand Corpses or Devil's Rejects.
That is correct.
Son of a bitch.
I was looking for House of Thousand
that
Corpses.
That is my favorite.
Five out of five, Drew. Five out of five. You ready?
Yeah.
You have to run the table so we can get to the tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Freddy Krueger.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Correct. Number two, Chucky.
Child's Play.
Correct. Number three, Leatherface.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Correct. Number four, Pinhead.
Hellraiser.
Correct. And number five, Norman Bates.
Oh god, what the fuck is his name? Psycho.
That is correct.
I was like, Steel.
That is correct. 10 out of 10 between the two of you. That means we are going into the tiebreaker. Here's, gotta give you guys pieces of paper. Because we're doing this way.
You gonna need a pen?
Yes. Here you go. Mike, you take that. Okay. Drew, there you go. We're doing closest to the pen. Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 came out in 2009. What is its Rotten Tomato rating? Closest to the pin. What is the Rotten Tomato score for Rob Zombie's Halloween 2? So exciting. Mike's turning his answer. Drew's turning his. Okay. Drew said 3.8%.
No, you said the rating.
Rotten Tomato rating.
Oh, not the consensus.
Yeah, the score.
Let's do 38%. How about that? That works. We'll just
round
it up.
Fine, 38%.
Yeah.
Essentially the same thing. I see what you're doing
exactly.
there.
We'll allow it.
That's fine, 38%. Mike, 52%. You're saying mixed reviews, right
mixed
down
reviews.
The middle.
Yes.
Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 on Rotten Tomatoes out of 73 reviews, 19%.
Oh, jeez.
Drew is correct, whether you went with 3.8 or 38.
I would have been right no matter
you're
what.
You're right no matter what. So that's well, why I fortunately it wasn't than a that. Big deal. Some people did. I'm sure Billy D's a fan.
Oh, I'm sure, but I know Rob Zombie, for a fact, never gets any critical acclaim for any of his movies whatsoever.
He gets no love whatsoever. No. Which is, you know, the guy makes very singular...
He has a singular vision.
Very, very distinct films. Yeah. You know, he goes out there and he sets out to do something. By God, he does it. Just a lot of people are very put off by what by his brand of insanity. But there you go, Drew. You won. Congratulations.
Awesome. That puts
better. That puts you at 14-5, setting a personal record now after 3 years.
Well, I mean, if I can get to 15-5, then I'm back up to 75%.
There you go. Drew's looking at his winning percentage. A competitive man. We like it. We like it. Well, still, good game, Mike.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Definitely pushed him to his limit. Both of you guys getting 5 out of 5. I like that. I like that kind of spirit.
You like being pushed to the limit, Chris?
I like it. When you get pushed to the limit, and I sit here and...
Do nothing.
Watch. And I record, and...
So you're a voyeur, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. That's creepy.
That is creepy. Yeah. Especially since I'm really not. That never...
Sure.
It's never done anything for me. All right, I got some movie news here. This is probably... I would chalk this up under... stuff that should outrage me, but I'm over it by now.
Okay.
I'm done with it. Mentioned Die Hard earlier.
Yes.
They're making a Die Hard 6.
We're up to 6 now.
We're up to 6.
All right.
But it's not just Die Hard 6. This is all sorts of ridiculous.
Uh-oh.
First off, they're bringing back Len Wiseman, director of Die Hard 4. Live Free or Die Hard. The one PG-13 one.
The worst one.
The worst one. Well, I don't know.
It had its moments.
It did have its moments. And
I
actually
wish they could have put Oliphant in a R-rated one.
I like Oliphant.
Yeah.
His character was terrible.
It was bad.
I'm Gabriel the Hacker.
Yeah. They really kind of cheesed
it. And I would have thought that the fourth one was the worst one until I saw the fifth one.
Yeah.
That fifth one
was
so,
so bad.
So incredibly bad. It's like John McClane's not even in this movie. It's just Bruce Willis running around saying, I should be on vacation.
Yep.
Like, wow, should you be, though?
And getting...
They kind of Danny Glovered him out.
They did.
He's too old for this shit.
He did. So they brought in his son, and his son was Jai Courtney, and he sucked.
He was horrible.
Yeah. He sucked. So they're bringing back Len Wiseman to do 6.
Is it starring Channing Tatum?
No.
Because he is my new John McClane.
I know. They should just do, like, make a new Die Hard, reboot Die Hard. Just remake the first Die Hard with John McClane. Channing Tatum was John McClane.
I mean, he already did his McClane thing in White House Down.
Yeah, he was John McClane in that movie. 100%. Yeah. Down to the white, tank top white shirt.
And everything.
Yeah. 100%.
So then you do with a vengeance and put what, like,
my goodness. Channing Tatum.
Who's the
and,
new Sam Jackson?
I guess I'd be slightly older. Chris Rock would actually be, that'd be fun, Chris Rock. Zeus. It's like, man, do I look Puerto Rican to you? Hey, Zeus. That cracked me up. I was like, I'm a Puerto Rican. So Len Wiseman's coming back, and I am now at the point where I've seen a bunch of Len Wiseman movies. I've seen Underworld, I've seen Total Recall, I've seen Die Hard 4, and I think I can officially say, fuck that guy. Correct. I have not seen any more of his movies.
Yes.
His movies are garbage, and I hate that they make any money and that he keeps getting to make them.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that guy.
I definitely regret watching Total Recall.
Oh, what a bummer, right? What a bummer of a movie.
Why did I spend my time on that?
Yeah. It's like, why did they even make this movie?
Yeah.
They took all the things that were interesting about Total Recall.
And
like, you know what? What if we take all that stuff out and then make a bad Blade Runner remake sort of thing?
Sweet.
We'll keep the three boobs.
Yeah.
Just to keep people happy.
But it's not going to make any sense because it's not on Mars. There are no mutants. So it's just a lady with three boobs.
Yeah. It's just a weird future now.
Randomly.
Fucking morons. So this is the guy who's making our Die Hard 6.
Awesome.
Yay. First off, it is going to be some sort of a prequel, sort of an origin story of John McClane, which is a bummer because the original Die Hard is the origin story.
Yeah.
He's a normal New York cop who found himself in one crazy situation and he got himself through it. That's the birth of John McClane as we know it. But now apparently he has to have even more of an explanation. So we're getting a movie in which that takes place in the 70s with a young McClane, but Bruce Willis is still going to play older McClane. So it may be a thing where...
Flashback.
Maybe there's a current case that somehow ties back to something when he was really young. Maybe it's just like an opening and closing scene with him, and then everything else is, you know...
So if they had any balls, they'd have 60-year-old... Bruce Willis playing young McClane in the 70s.
That would be hysterical.
He aged backwards.
Like a Benjamin Button type thing.
Uh-huh.
Benjamin Button.
So now in the 80s he was younger, then he got older again.
I see the curious case of John McClane. Unfortunately, this is not the curious case of John McClane, nor is it called that. They even announced the title already.
Uh-oh.
And the title is like, guys, you're not even thinking that hard.
I mean, Live Free or Die Hard was pretty bad.
Pretty bad. A Good Day to Die Hard was even worse.
Yeah.
But you know what? They're topping themselves now. Now it's getting to the point where, like, how deep can we bury this franchise? How much shit can we pile on top? The name of this movie, as announced by Len Wiseman on Twitter, Die Hard Year One. The year one of Die Hard.
Because First Class was already taken.
Yeah. Yes.
What? Die Hard First Class.
Oh my God, so stupid. Apparently,
Police Academy.
Apparently there was a year one for Die Hard.
And it was in the 70s.
Yeah. 12 years before the events at Nakatomi Plaza.
Yes.
So he was already a diehard cop.
He was prepared for it.
You want to find out how John McClane became a diehard cop? No. We already did. It was called Die Hard.
So for somehow, before, you know, he got to...
Before he became world famous,
he was an outcast cop who was not a good cop.
So stupid.
Yeah, but yeah, that makes sense.
So stupid. Yeah.
He worked hard in the academy. That's what they want to show. He really busted his ass running those drills.
Maybe it's a diehard Police Academy crossover type thing. He'll meet a black guy.
Can Gutenberg show up? Are we in on this?
Yes.
He can play the guy that runs Academy that wants to kick McClane out.
I think Michael Winslow's available too.
Fuck yeah, he's available.
He'll do it.
He's over here in Altamont Springs. We'll go knock on his door right now. Mike, we're doing Die Hard Police Academy. You in?
And yes.
Like, and he's like, whoa, yum, 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 yum. I don't know. I assume he just makes noises all day long. And I want to be like really, it is annoying and stupid, and I want to be all pissy about it, but we've already had Die Hard 4 and 5, and they've been dumb. Hell, 2 and 3
weren't that good.
2 and 3 are only looking better in hindsight compared to 4 and 5.
Yeah.
You know, so.
In the long run, I mean.
They're just going to keep making.
I mean, we're all going to end up seeing it.
Probably.
Yeah. Unfortunately. I mean, I'm going to watch it.
Like, I mean, I swore off the fourth one because it was PG-13. It's like, I'm not going to see a fucking PG-13 Die Hard.
How dare you.
And then they did the unrated DVD thing where they put in the digital blood and they reinserted a couple of fuck words. And and I was like, this is still not.
Nothing any more than yippee-ki-yay, mother, bang.
Yeah, and then he shoots his bang. Like, so lame. And then why does he keep saying that over and over? Yeah. John McClane makes no sense as a person anymore.
It's like, I hear it's trending well, guys. Let's keep using my catchphrase I said once.
He's like, I just logged on to Twitter and yippee-ki-yay is trending.
I don't think any other villain made a Wayne reference. In Vengeance, he did.
Yeah.
I think they did in the third one. I think that was it. Because the brothers thing.
Yeah.
Like a real John Wayne.
The Simon. Yeah. And he was like, I'm more of a Roy Rogers, man. I've been partial to Roy Rogers myself. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. And then he whispers it.
I'm going to go on a radio tour talking about how guns are bad. Go see my movie where I'm shooting thousands of people.
Yeah. That's a tough sell. That's tough. That's like when Jim Carrey was in Kick-Ass 2. Yeah. And he was like, guys, maybe you shouldn't see this. It's a little too violent. Guns are bad. Guns are bad, guys, okay?
Make sure you make that check out to Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey. But then again, I don't think his character used guns, technically. So technically.
No, he didn't.
So he's
a better guile than Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. He would. Oh, my God. Jean-Claude Van Damme. So we mentioned this on the show before, but now it is official. So we got Legendary Pictures. They got the rights to Godzilla. They're making that Godzilla 2. But they also got a deal going on with... who is it? With Universal, where they can co-produce some movies together. Universal has the rights to King Kong.
Yes.
So what we're getting? First, we had Godzilla, which came out. Were you a fan of that movie?
I never ended up finishing it.
Never finished it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I seem to keep trying to watch it really late at night. That's a big mistake. And you doze off.
And then it's not catching you.
And then at the end, you're like, do I really want to try to watch it again? Was it bored? Or was
were you tired?
Or I just really tired?
Combination of the two. I always ask because it's not a slam dunk with Godzilla. Yeah. Some people really like it. Some people do not. And some people are like in the middle, which is like, eh.
Well, where's Matthew Broderick and his worms?
Oh, my God. That Godzilla movie. Holy shit. So that Godzilla came out, and now they are working on, Universal's working on Kong Skull Island, which is a King Kong prequel. I'm not big on that idea.
All about the prequels.
Right. I mean, so we're going to find out how King Kong became King Kong. This is when he was Prince Kong. He was like, only a 20-foot gorilla.
He overthrew the government.
the tribal government.
Yes, became the king.
Yeah, it was a coup. The coup on Skull Island is what they should have called the movie. So they're making a prequel, and then Legendary has Godzilla 2 scheduled to come out the next year. By 2020, we will be joining forces. The two companies coming together, we're getting our King Kong versus Godzilla. And it's modern King Kong, the Godzilla we've seen, the one that just came out. And you know what? Fuck it, man. They're just giant monster movies.
Yeah.
It's not like they're sacred.
Yeah, I mean, it's an attractive option.
Right.
But I feel like it's going to be another one of those long-time D-teases.
Oh, sure.
Like how I was super expecting a Sinister Six movie, and then, now we're just going to reboot it again.
These,
yeah. Oh, thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
These movies need to make money. The Godzilla 2 and Kong Skull Island need to be successful for them to want to continue down the road, for sure. It's like at the end of the horrible Green Lantern movie, they teased Mark Strong, Sinestro, becoming the bad guy he was always supposed to be, and then we're never going to get that fucking Green Lantern movie.
Nope.
Which is, what a shame. What a waste of casting Mark Strong as Sinestro.
I'm going to be mad about Sinister Six forever.
As he should be. Because like
they continuously get to the point of Vulture, and then, now we're ending it. We're going to start over instead.
Yeah, two Spider-Man franchises in a row. Yeah.
They're like, and no Vulture.
I am dying to have a Vulture in live action. Please,
and you know, but you know what? They're like, you know what? We'll still bring back that Green Goblin,
Again. And now we're going to make him the Hobgoblin-Green Goblin mix.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know the hell they were thinking there.
Well, we'll see what Marvel plans on doing with their with their Sony co-production. Spider-Man movie come out 2018. The only thing we know for sure, 100%, he will be a high school kid.
Yes.
And
we know the kid who's playing it now, right?
Yes, it's Tom Holland, I think, is his name. And who's a straight-up kid. You know, he's like 16, 17 years old, and that's what they want to do. They're like, we want to make a
35-year-old?
Yeah, exactly.
Playing 17?
Yeah, like Tobey Maguire, or even Andrew Garfield was like 24
when
he was playing his Spider-Man for the first time. So they're actually going with a kid. It's going to take place in high school. They're going to do a bunch of stuff that hasn't been done with the five other goddamn Spider-Man movies that have come out already. That's the trick.
Yeah.
We've had five Spider-Man movies since 2001. And now they're going to do another one. Like, how are you going to get people interested outside your hardcore Marvel geeks? You know, because those guys, they've been clamoring for Marvel to get the Spider-Man rights back for a while. Same thing with Fantastic Four. There was a rumor going around on the internets this week, which is shocked. Guys, did you know there are rumors on the internet?
No.
Unsubstantiated rumors?
The internet.
Yeah. And sometimes,
I don't believe you.
And sometimes wrong information
on
the internet?
No.
I know. It seems
that can't
kind of
be the truth.
Seems kind of absurd. But that's why I read on the internet, though, Mike. That's why I read.
I thought Amy Schumer and Bradley Cooper were getting married, right?
Yeah, that's aren't they?
Totally getting married.
Amy Bradley forever. I saw that. I saw that somewhere. It looked like for a minute that Fox and Marvel had worked out a deal to get the Fantastic Four rights back over to Marvel in exchange for TV rights for X-Men.
Okay.
Because Marvel announced that they're putting out a couple of X-Men themed TV shows, but the names of the characters I can't recall. Like, it's not like they're doing a Storm show.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Legion, I think, is one of them, or I don't know.
Don't care.
B characters, you know?
Gotcha.
So since they announced that, people are like, well, doesn't Marvel have the TV rights? Did they work out a deal? Maybe they took Fantastic Four back, blah, blah, blah. And that shit's been debunked. That ain't happening, guys.
Okay. I'm okay with that not happening.
Yeah, well, I am too. And you know what? I kind of want to see this supposedly planned Fantastic Four X-Men crossover movie. That could be fun.
Yeah, might be weird.
If we're going to be sharing... Yeah, it could be weird. If we're sharing some universes, let's get these characters together in a film. Because they got together in comic books all the time, right?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, so...
Can we throw Spider-Man in there then if we're bringing him back?
Ah,
let's bring them all in back together.
I mean, Spider-Man...
That would have been nice.
Yeah. Spider-Man likes to hang out with the Fantastic Four.
Spider-Man was in the very first Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. The Fantastic Four Numero Uno, which was released in Mexico. But yeah, nah, Sony. Now, Sony's got that Spider-Man rights, and they work with Marvel, so now shit's all fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Man is Sony Marvel. Then you got your Marvel characters. Then you got your Marvel characters with just Fox. Silver Surfer, who's with Fantastic Four, he's reverted back to Marvel because they need Silver Surfer for Infinity War.
Yeah. So when's Disney just going to decide to say screw it and pay him off? Just get them all in one camp, finally.
They'd have to pay so much because, especially for X-Men, X-Men is the only thing Fox has of all those characters that has been worth it.
Yeah.
They've tried Daredevil, didn't work. Elektra didn't work. They're trying Deadpool now. Not even all their X-Men stuff works. Like the X-Men Origins Wolverine, that did terrible.
Horrible.
Yeah, so they had to like regain people's trust with the First Class and Days of Future Past. Also, apparently, X-Men Apocalypse is going to be the longest X-Men movie of all of them.
Fantastic.
It's pushing 2.5 hours, I think. Yeah, the runtime. Disney would have to pay so much money. I think they may have worked out something for the original distribution rights for the first three Star Wars films. Because Fox has those distribution rights. Lucas did the original Star Wars from Fox before it was just Lucasfilm. So when he sold Lucasfilm to Disney, that did not come with the rights for those first three movies. At least the right to be able to put them on DVD and distribute them. They have to cut Fox in on it.
Packages of nine
set. Yes, exactly. So they have to pay them off for that eventually. It's going to happen if it hasn't already. Yeah. So it's going to take a while for them to buy everything, which we know Disney wants to do.
Oh, yeah. You can just trade them for the first, the,
trade
the newest three that you guys want these really prequels? Want.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they're
we'll just start at four.
Unfortunately, they're dumb kids who grew up on the prequels, and those are their Star Wars movies, you know? Yeah. And now they're like teenagers and they're 20s, and like, well, that's my Star Wars movie.
Like, but Jar Jar Binks is great.
Yeah, your Star Wars movie sucks, bro. I'm sorry, man. Yeah. It's not Empire.
No, it's not.
It's not Empire. No, it's not even a Return of the Jedi. I'll take Ewoks over Jar Jar Binks.
All day.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Fucking stupid prequel movies. Prequel, King Kong prequel. So we'll see. It's all about the money. We'll see if we'll get that King Kong Godzilla.
I mean, like, I'll go ahead and buy another annual pass if it helps. Just, just to get that all together.
I've been meaning to get the annual pass, man.
Put them all in one.
I gotta
one
get on that. They got
it's
the
nice
new,
until you get busy and you don't go for weeks and weeks and you're like, why did I get this?
Like, I'm spending, this cost me money. And they're building a new King Kong ride out there, too, where it's like giant screen. So it's kind of like the 360 3D screen experience, but it's a dark ride where you're in a car that's moving around.
So I think that's what the next year, we're doing the Universal annual pass to switch it back.
Oh, you switch it
around?
Because
that one's cheaper.
Yeah.
A lot cheaper than Disney.
Well, Disney, they just upped the price, too.
They changed it. The pass we have this year was already ridiculous expensive.
Yeah.
And now it's like twice as much
to
get the same thing next year.
It's stupid because they introduced weird...
we're paying for Star Wars.
Like, leveling? Yeah.
That's what it is.
Both the land and the movies.
When they open up that Star Wars land in like 2019, 2020.
Nerd mecca.
Oh, my God.
I'll spend the money then.
Yeah.
When we get there, we'll do it.
I mean, by that time, the one-day ticket will be like $150, which I'll just buy it.
Let's do it.
Well, who wants Poros at Disney?
Exactly.
Seriously.
Standing in line with all these smelly people with their tank tops. Mad Max, Fury Road News.
Awesome.
Did you see Mad Max?
Phenomenal.
Love
good.
It.
Absolutely.
So great. Rewatch it this week. I've seen it in theaters three times, watched it at home again, so the fourth time I've seen it.
Yes.
And I was like halfway through the movie, not even halfway through the movie, pretty early on, I was marveling at how... excited the movie still made me feel. Like I knew what was going to happen.
Exactly.
I've seen it a bunch of times. Yeah. I'm like, this is still fucking thrilling. So
I went in a little skeptical when I saw it in the theater because I was like, yeah.
That'd be the best way to go into
this. Continuous remakes and reboots. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. I love Tom Hardy, but I don't know.
Right.
And then, from the jump, you're like, oh, wow, this is
intense. Let's fucking do this.
Yeah, it's like, it shows that just because you're working with a franchise or an old property, doesn't mean you can't make something that can still be seen as new.
Yeah.
And there's a
weird dichotomy, too, because I went with my fiance who has no clue about the original movie.
Yeah, which you don't need.
Yeah. And she has this obvious hang up. She's Jewish, Mel Gibson, not a fan.
Uh-huh. Sure.
She has this thing. Yeah. I'm like, but before he went crazy, phenomenal. Yeah. He did some good stuff back then.
Yeah. Well, before we knew he was crazy. Yeah.
And then he lost it and went very anti-Semitic from there. But, she had no clue. So she's super excited. And I'm like, ugh. And then both of us.
And both enjoyed
absolutely
it.
Lord. It.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, then we all should be happy to hear about news for Mad Max : The Wasteland.
Sweet. Yes.
That's the name of his next one. As a matter of fact, George Miller has two more Mad Max stories.
Nice.
One that he says takes place over the course of a year.
Okay.
And one that takes place over the course of a number of years. Hmm. As opposed to Fury Road, which took place over the course of a day, pretty much.
Yeah.
Maybe a day and a half. So, wildly different story ideas. And it looks like he's going to continue the trend of, which I like, every Mad Max movie, they're all... It's Mad Max in a different story.
Yeah.
They're not connected story-wise.
Yeah. No.
You know?
Same universe.
Same universe.
Different story.
It's just down the road. So Furiosa will not be coming back as a character, which I'm actually happy about. I don't know. I don't want to see more about Furiosa. I like how Mad Max ended.
Yeah.
They're going up in the Citadel. They're going up to the top. The women are going to control the Citadel. Furiosa is going to be head of it.
Yep.
I'm like, that's great. Now things are working out great for them. Mad Max is leaving, so we should be leaving. Just thinking that, okay, everything's going to be cool at the Citadel now because they got a benevolent person in charge. It's all good. We don't need any more of that. But this is a great idea that I saw someone put online. Mad Max, George Miller has had success with reusing actors.
Mm-hmm.
What's this guy's name? It's like Keys Hugh Byrne. I don't know the guy's name. The guy who played Morton Joe.
Yeah.
was also the main villain in the first Mad Max.
Yes.
He was the toe cutter. Why not have Charlize Theron come back, maybe play the villain in Mad Max Wasteland? A totally different character.
Yeah.
You know, that could be a lot of fun, I think.
With a mask on her face.
Hey, another two hours of Charlize Theron.
In any shape or form, especially as like a badass of some sort. Yeah. And then Tom Hardy coming back, grumbling all the time and being a weirdo. Yeah. Oh, man, I love that movie. So, Mad Max plans are coming. Hopefully, two more movies. And knock on wood, you know, George Miller is in his 70s. These guys that come up with these grand ideas, like Ridley Scott, he's like, oh, yeah, I want to make three more Prometheus movies and this and that.
You're like, bro, you're so old.
Good luck.
You are so old. Please don't die before you make these things. Or if they're going to be bad, then go ahead and
die. It's fine.
Yeah, so we don't suffer us. Roadhouse remake. It's been announced for a while now. And it's got a weird director who's just been chosen. First off, Ronda Rousey is the lead role, which I'm fine with that. I like her, and it's not like we're asking her to do Hamlet.
But it's not going to make any sense when the dude says, I used to fuck guys like you in prison.
Well, you can say to someone else.
A woman.
Yeah.
Well, but maybe a woman will say. Like a big buff woman comes in.
I used to fuck chicks like you
in prison.
Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, that's a...
Like, hey there.
With my, anyway, I was going to say something horrible there. But now they got the director, and this dude, he's directed a bunch of movies, and he's the son of a well-known 70s director. Nick Cassavetes is going to direct it.
Okay.
And the reason they probably picked him is because Nick Cassavetes, on top of doing Alpha Dog and John Q, his more recent movies have featured women, like the movie The Other Women, The Other Woman with Cameron Diaz and Boobs McGee.
Yes.
Kate Upton and Leslie Mann, which I got sucked into that watching that on HBO once.
Oh, I'm
and
sorry.
I was like, this is...
Yeah.
It's weirdly watchable, but just not good. Not good. But he did that. My Sister's Keeper. He works with women a lot in movies. Yeah. He also did The Notebook. That's probably his biggest movie.
I didn't know he did that.
Yeah, so he's one doing a Roadhouse remake, which is a weird choice.
Sure.
Because you're expecting a movie that's going to be over the top. You know, just trying to match the energy of that original film. They did make a Roadhouse too. It's not like... They haven't gone to this well before.
It just didn't work out.
It did not work out at all.
I'm a huge fan of Ronda Rousey.
I think she's great.
She's a bit boxy on screen.
Sure, she can be. And yeah, especially if she's...
Having her as the main attraction of a movie.
Yeah, because she had a small supporting role in Expendables 3, which she was fine in.
She was in a good bit of Entourage.
Yeah, well, she was just playing herself,
looks a little
herself,
better
though.
Because...
She's also just playing
still, like, reading the lines, you could tell it's a little...
That she's reading.
Yeah, boxy.
Yeah.
From that. But then again, it wasn't like the highest class of actors in the movie.
Exactly. So, that's the thing.
Kind of helped her look a little
If you cast
better.
Her in the right thing, it's not like you're expecting too much of her. When she had that one fight scene in Furious 7 where she's just a bodyguard.
Yeah.
And then she just has to have one fight scene with Michelle Rodriguez. It's like, okay. Yeah, she's fine. Yeah. But then that's the thing where you have to suspend your disbelief, where you have to pretend that Michelle Rodriguez could fight Ronda Rousey and not get her face ripped off in 10 seconds. The same thing when Paul Walker fights Tony Jaa.
Yeah,
Tony Jaa's flipping around.
Tony Jaa would melt the floor with
him. He's doing all this amazing Muay Thai stuff. And I'm like, Paul Walker, he couldn't.
That whole thing would have been over in 5 minutes in real life with Tony Jaa.
Yeah, so quickly. But no, they're... Paul Walker's getting his shots in, and he ends up winning the fight. It's like, in all the crazy things that happen in the Fast and Furious movies, that's the most absurd.
Yeah, probably.
Most logic defying of them all.
Statham could have sat on the sidelines. Just watched it. Like, I'll let this guy take care of it.
Yeah, and see, you had Statham and John in the same movie. You don't have
best
to fight.
Villain tandems that one ever should be able to beat.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, no one could ever beat
that. Like, literally, that is when the bad guys win.
Especially in a movie like that where, Statham just keeps showing up, and he's just, like, the baddest dude ever. Yeah. And they're barely getting by the skin of their teeth.
Beaten by bad acting.
Hey, that'll beat you down sometimes, too. Beaten by bad acting. It's just like the hamminess, I can't take it. I'm unconscious from the hamminess. So we have The Hateful Eight coming out. Christmas, The Hateful Eight comes out. In 70mm formats. Quentin Tarantino is doing this. He retrofitted 50 theaters around the world with projectors to be able to show the movie. And he's doing some sort of like rolling road show type thing where the movie is going to be playing in different locations for 2 weeks. Starting from Christmas going up to January 8th. And then January 8th, the movie comes out in wide release. So then the rest of the world gets a chance to finally see the movie. to kind of entice people even more to see the 70 millimeter version, it's going to be a little different. It's actually going to be 6 minutes longer.
Okay.
And he explained that in the 70 millimeter version, the additional scenes are going to be like some scenes that play out a little longer, some things that are done in like longer takes. So it's a little more, I don't want to say slower, but paced out a little more.
Okay.
As opposed to when then it comes out here, like in the Regal Winter Park. Yeah. And the version that we'll all get to see, a lot of that stuff's gonna be a little bit quicker. The movie's gonna be tightened up just a little bit. Some of those longer takes are gonna be cut out.
A little shorter.
Yeah. So there's gonna be two versions of the movie out there now that aren't gonna be drastically different, but they are different enough that there are gonna be people out there who are gonna want to see both. Hell, I want to see.
I'm stoked for this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's Tarantino.
It seems like he took his time finally too. The last couple, he's kind of rushed out. Obviously, Inglourious was he rushed to get it to Cannes. He was like, get it out, go, and it seemed a little rushed.
Yeah, he did that twice in a row. Cannes and Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah.
Oh,
Django was a little rushed too. It was better. It wasn't as. Both were phenomenal. I loved them all.
Yeah.
But he seemed like he tried to get it out too fast. This took a while.
And I think he does that on purpose in terms of, he's like, if I don't give myself a deadline, I'm just going to be dicking around for too long. And he's also obsessed with this idea of not being an old man director.
True.
So he wants to get the 10 movies and retire from directing and do a bunch of other stuff. And I think he's aiming to, by the time he's 60, to put out the 10th one. He's in his 50s now, and he's got two movies left because this is his Hateful Eight. This is his eighth film, which is a bummer.
It is.
Because his movies are getting better, I think.
Yeah.
His last two have been his two best, and this one looks fantastic. Great cast. It's a Western. Yeah. Looks ridiculous. And he's only going to do two more, and he's going to be done with
it. Yep.
With you.
Done.
Come on, man.
Over.
And nobody else seems to have that like grasp of historic film, like just like the old styles and the spaghetti western and
exactly.
All the old stuff.
It's like amazing. It's like it's him, it's Scorsese and Spielberg.
Yeah,
you know, and they're drawing from different things.
Oh yeah,
so their movies come out differently, but they're the only people like watching Bridge of Spies. I was kind of struck by how much Spielberg's his love of movies from the 50s and 60s, how much that informed that movie. It's definitely like boom, here are my influences.
Tarantino's supposed to be. He gets the blaxploitation, the kung fu, then the western, then just every aspect.
The 70s style, but then sometimes
but then
he finds a way still to put them in contemporary settings a lot with stuff like Jackie Brown and Pulp Fiction. Yep. And it's like, oh, this is all building together beautifully. And then you see, and then people are like, oh, he's just a thief. He's stealing ideas, which yes, he is, but he's doing it in such a way that it makes it his. You see other people, especially in the 90s, that style of 90s indie film where people were like essentially doing that, but they're copying Tarantino. Yeah. And you can tell, like, guys, you don't know what you're doing. Like, you're making shit that's obviously garbage, where he's taking the stuff and he's weaving gold.
No doubt.
You know? So we'll see. We'll see how, obviously, expectations are high for Hateful Eight. But it's a
coming
out
at a tough time though.
Christmas is always tough.
Yeah.
But they've been doing that with his last few movies.
Yeah.
Because he still gets awards buzz. He still gets nominated, at least nominated, and his actors often get nominated and sometimes even win. Especially Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
Motherfucker won twice in a row.
Pow.
Isn't that crazy?
Gets me excited for Bond, man.
Yeah.
Oh man.
As Blofeld, Secret Blofeld. Mm-hmm. Secret's out, guys. We all know he's Blofeld. Why are you trying to hide it? He's like, no, he's playing Oberhauser. No, he's not.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. All right, let's wrap it up with this news here. I got a text message. That's SBK. I'll hit him up later.
SBK.
Good. Shout out to SBK. Go to kidneyforkevin.com. People,
yes,
help him out.
Absolutely.
He still needs help, and you need to do it. James Cameron, working on his Avatar movies.
Raising the bar.
Raising that technical bar for sure. Storytelling wise, man, it's like, he could do better. You know, he knows how to tell a story, but it's just not. Avatar was not unique enough.
No.
It hit too many of the same beats. Like, we know you know the beats, Cameron. Now flip them around a little bit. But anyway, Avatar, highest grossing film of all time.
Yep.
Because when it came out, technically, no one said anything like it. And even since, 3D has only been done that good a handful of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's still absolutely, technically, one of the best. Obsessed with the Avatar world. James Cameron is, I just turned to Yoda, sorry about that. He's doing Avatar 2, 3, and 4.
Ugh.
Son of a bitch. And he even said at one point in an interview a few years ago, conceivably, he could see himself making nothing but Avatar films for the rest of his career, because he could tell all the stories that he wants to tell within that universe.
Love Ferngully.
Yeah, right?
I know, right?
The Smurfs are so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, we're all cool with the Insular
World. Pocahontas Ferngully.
Yeah, come on.
What's going on?
Cameron.
James Cameron.
Now, the problem with that is, if he just wants to do Avatar movies, that means he's abandoning his other ideas. One of his other ideas has been, he almost made this movie instead of Avatar, live-action version of a very popular Japanese manga and anime, called Battle Angel Alita. Hmm. For years, you saw him making that. He almost made that instead of Avatar. That could have been the highest-grossing film of all time. Some insane R-rated. That would have been the highest grossing, because it would have been R-rated.
Yeah. He's also a genius moneymaker, though, and with Disney making the Avatar land,
you strike now. Oh, that is so smart.
Right when that thing opens, you drop some new movies, yeah. It's sold out all the time.
Yeah, and he keeps pushing it back a year. I wonder if he's coordinating with Disney. And
probably. Like, waiting until they finish.
Yeah, and he's like, you know what? That's fine. I could use the extra year of production.
I don't know when the last time you've been to Animal Kingdom was, but no Animal Kingdom right now. It's all blocked off because they're building
stuff. I've seen the concepts of it, you know, like the floating mountains and stuff and the bioluminescence.
Yeah.
I'm not even a big fan of Avatar, and I am dying to walk through
there. I honestly didn't like it at all, but I'm just stoked to see Avatar land.
Yeah, that Disney Imagineering stuff is... it's top notch.
Especially like you walk around there, you get to go to the safari over to the left, and you have to go all the way around to get over to where dinosaur is the other side. Everything in the middle, just one big wall. Wow. You're like, what's going to be there?
It's going to be incredible.
I want to see it now.
It's going to be incredible. And you know, they're doing that because they turned down Harry Potter.
Yeah.
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 Which was a big mistake.
Now they're looking at Universal up the road, like, fuck. Mm-hmm. They're setting records.
Another reason why I'm excited to get that Universal pass next year.
Yeah.
I am definitely a giant Harry Potter
fan. And you know what? I'm not that big in Harry Potter, but those Harry Potter. Yeah. The islands of lands are impressive
as hell.
Oh my god, I love walking into the new one at the old park.
So legit
when you walk through that doorway and then you are like, you are there.
It is exactly what you see in the movie.
It's amazing.
So incredible.
It's pretty amazing.
I walked in there and turned into a 10-year-old. Yes.
It's one of those things. Exactly.
I'm home.
Exactly. But James Cameron has announced recently, while he is not doing Battle Angel Alita, he is going to produce it. It is going to happen.
Nice. Hmm.
And they got themselves a director. First, let me explain what Battle Angel Alita is. And first off, they're changing the title. To Alita, Battle Angel.
Okay.
So they're switching it around.
Gotcha. Americanizing.
Yeah. Probably their plan is to make a bunch of Alita movies.
Yeah.
So it'll be Alita, this or that or whatever. Let's see here. The manga series premiered in 1990, and the story is about a cyborg in the 26th century who is saved from the scrapyard by a cybernetics doctor. He restores her and names her after his deceased cat, Alita. The cyborg Alita recalls nothing about her past, but does remember a legendary cyborg martial art called Panzer Cursed. She becomes a mercenary hunter warrior, tracking down dangerous killers while simultaneously attempting to recover her past. So she's trying to figure out who she is.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, she is a cyborg that knows a special cyborg kung fu.
So what, this is a sequel to Ex Machina?
It's like, it's like, what if you mix Ex Machina with
Rambo?
Enter the Dragon. And then you got Alita, Battle Angel. And the director is going to be Robert Rodriguez.
Oh, very nice.
Well, now I'm interested.
Very interesting, right?
Absolutely.
It's going to be by far his biggest profile project. It's going to be his biggest budget.
Yeah.
And he's shown us what he can do with no money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine what we can do with a bunch of millions of dollars.
What can he do with the resources of James Cameron? It should be...
endless.
Those are some deep pockets.
Yeah, it should be amazing to look at. Now, will the story be any good?
We'll find out.
They do have something to work with. They have a manga, so there are story beats there that they can use. It's not like they have to make it up as they go along. I'll see this.
It'll at least be pretty.
And I do like the fact that it is being done. Because I kept hearing about this project for a while, and I wanted to be made so bad, and then Cameron's like, I'm just going to keep making Avatar movies. But you know what? In a couple years, maybe he'll be doing this. Maybe he'll direct Avatar movies, but then he'll produce other stuff with other directors, right? Yeah. So in 2019, no matter what happens, the Terminator rights revert back to James Cameron. Because he only lost the Terminator rights in his divorce.
Yeah.
Linda Hamilton got them, which is insane. And then she sold them. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's why they've been bouncing around companies to companies, that they've been making shit movies for years. No matter, they're going to try to make another Terminator movie based on the Genesis that just came out, mm-hmm. because it made decent money overseas and in China, but they have to get out before 2019, because then James Cameron gets it back, and then maybe he'll be like, I have ideas for Terminator movies, let me give it to these directors.
And that'd
then,
be cool.
And then they can make something that I actually like and appreciate, mm-hmm. you know, because that last one was such a... Holy cow, what garbage. Holy cow, what garbage. Let me just double check. Maybe Billy sent us something in the interim. And... Nope, Death to Billy Dee.
He's dead.
Okay, this brings us to the end of the show. And at the end of the show, we'll do what we do with all our guests. It is time for the lightning round. And we have lightning round intro.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
All right, Mike, I got 10 questions. I need 10 answers. Are you ready?
Sure, why not?
We're going to learn a little bit about you. It's kind of like therapy, kind of like psychotherapy, psychology.
Should I lay down?
Except not at all.
The chair does recline in full vertical fashion. Feel free to rock it all the way back, but it is an IKEA chair, so it may break. Drew, please start the clock.
And go.
Number one, what was the last picture you took with your phone?
Selfie right here in the studio with you guys.
That's funny. Number two, have you ever showered in the rain?
Like outside?
Yes.
No.
Number three, what is your perfect pizza?
Oh, any pizza.
Oh.
It is my just ultimate weakness.
Whatever pizza.
Yeah. Okay. Just, and I mean, obviously, like no like anchovies, things like that. But
no anchovies.
A straight pepperoni's good.
Yeah.
Supreme's good.
Yeah.
Buffalo chicken's good.
Buffalo chicken guy.
All over the place.
Okay. Number four. If you could be any age for 1 week, what age would that be?
Like, I'd be 21 again.
21, that's a good age.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Go back 10 years.
Number five, what is the longest you have gone without sleep?
Oh, man. Probably maybe about 48 hours.
Whoa, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Number six, what did you do for your last birthday?
I worked.
Hey.
It was on a Monday.
Welcome to being an adult.
Gotta love adulthood.
Yeah. Number seven, have you ever tipped a cow?
No.
Number eight.
I did live in the South for a long time. Never tipped a cow.
Never had that opportunity. Number eight. If you could spend a day with any celebrity, who would it be?
You know, I got to go back to Jables.
Yeah.
Jack Black. Hang out with Jables. Sing some Tenacious D with him.
There Let's you do go. This. Number nine. The mountains or the beach?
Mountains.
Number 10. What do you think Victoria's secret is?
Ooh. I feel like if we knew that, we'd be a lot better with women, wouldn't we?
Right.
So it must be that. How to not suck with women, which is something I'll never know.
That is a secret. Yeah. Yeah, that is a tough one. Oh, boy. I've lost that battle a long time ago.
Yes.
Much to my mother's disappointment.
I've lost. It's an ongoing war. You just keep losing the battles.
You do.
Yeah, that's true.
Even when you get one. I mean, I'm engaged, and I still lose every day.
Uh-huh.
Just every day.
Yeah.
It's just a struggle just to keep it going.
Yeah.
Keep the ship afloat.
I'm like, wow, you haven't left yet. Sweet.
Awesome. All
right. Went right.
You're still here. Great.
One more day.
What's for dinner? Oh! Guess what, Drew?
Blade is F the movies.
Here you go. Billy D getting us just in time. And it's very short, too. So we're going to give it to Drew. Dun, 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 dun. That's the intro. There you go.
Whoa. Editing photos from CMJ and realized I didn't get this out.
Uh-oh.
Fuck. Anyway, I saw 20 bands this week, but made time for The Final Girls.
The Final Girls.
It was good. Beautifully shot. Very tongue-in-cheek and solid all around. I would love to say more, but I have a deadline. Watch it. Billy D.
Thank you, Billy D. Got it in just in time. The Final Girls. Oh, hyphen. Yeah, that's where, you know, that concept of the final girl in the horror film.
Yeah.
It's like think of your Friday the 13th movies or whatever. It's usually the virgin. Mm-hmm. Kevin Woods style. Yep. Even if someone's not necessarily a virgin, virgin-ish.
Yeah. Close enough.
She's the one that doesn't got to work with what you got.
Yeah, yeah. She just has to suffer. She doesn't have to die.
Jamie Lee Curtis in the Halloween movies. Mm-hmm. She is the one that gets away at the end.
Yeah.
The Final Girls is a movie about a bunch of final girls. And it's supposed to be like kind of a flipping tropes of the horror film.
Okay.
Pretty good reviews. It's on the on-demand now.
Okay.
So, but it's one of those things where it's like on-demand and theaters at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's like $7.99. It's like the price of a movie ticket.
Yeah.
But it's only one movie ticket that everyone in the room gets to watch it. That's how you
charge everybody $7 to come over.
Like, guys, $7, come see this movie. I got tickets. I'll give you a friendly friends or family discount. $6. Come on. $6. All right, that brings us to the end. So, swag bag time. Mike, we got two swag bags here, brown bag, white bag. Go ahead and pick which one you may want to take home.
Let's go with the brown bag.
All right, let's break out the brown bag.
That's where my sandwiches were when I was a child.
Yeah, except without so many polka dots on them.
All right.
So,
not as many. Yeah.
Drew, let him know what he gets to take home if he chooses.
We got Chris Bodito burned copies of Repo Man and Return of the Dragon.
There you go, the bootleg edition, Chris Bodito bootleg edition.
We got you a copy of from Artsploitation Films, The Summer House, a film by Curtis Burrs.
Thank you, Artsploitation Films, we appreciate that.
We've got you a set of Star Wars The Force Awakens paper plates.
Look at
sweet.
That. Look at that.
We've got Dinnerware. You a Everpet squeaky vinyl dog toy that looks like a steak.
All right, there you go. A steak to put on paper plates.
We've got you a Marvel 500 mystery toy.
Mystery toy.
And some Cinema Crespediso stickers.
Bunch of stickers in there. Mike, that can all be yours. It can all be yours. Okay. You can take it home right now, or we put the bag away, and you choose what's in the box that Drew Cochran has right over here.
I suck at these what's in the box things.
What's in the box?
I mean, if it's Gwyneth Paltrow's head, I win, right? That's a total victory.
If it's her head, of course. Everyone, like, wins. Everyone wins. And one day it might be your head.
It will be.
One day.
Somewhere.
If I don't go with the box, I'll always wonder what was in it.
Okay, so you're going with the box.
I go with the box, as much as it might be just horrible.
We're going with the box. We're going to go ahead and grab that top and take it off.
My dog is going to be really mad he doesn't get that squeaky toy.
Yeah, he's going to be mad about it. So go ahead and open the box, sir, and let everyone know what's inside.
All right.
That's a lot of things. It's a pack of Road to WrestleMania trading cards.
There you go, trading cards. Oh, I didn't mean to hit that button. I wanted to hit this button.
Never go with the box.
There you go.
Sometimes there's good stuff in the box, sometimes there's not.
Yeah, Curtis Earth got an ice cream maker once, a little cheap ice cream maker. Etchy got a tiny little moose.
But when you're a real celebrity like Curtis Earth,
well,
you deserve a real prize.
You got to make sure Curtis Earth keeps coming back. Got to keep him happy. Absolutely. So he writes his music. But there you go. WrestleMania trading cards. You know what? We'll also make sure we give you some Cinema Crespedizo stickers as well. So, Mike, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me. I had a blast.
Really appreciate it. And we'll definitely have you on again in the future. True. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. We appreciate it. Remember to support R-rated movies. Break up the big banks. Break them up, people.
Absolutely.
Also, read more books. And be excellent to each other. We'll be back with 146 next weekend. Thank you very much.